This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 12 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. This episode is a continuation of the last two episodes. We talked about discipline, and then we talked with my friend Grace about connecting her relationship with God and her training for Olympic triathlon. So naturally, the next area I wanted to focus on was endurance. Of course, I'm not talking about running marathons or lasting longer in the gym. I'm definitely not the person to ask about marathons. I'm talking about enduring through the hard stuff, the trials of life that seem to be taking forever to resolve, the waiting for an answer to prayer, pushing through when you don't get the results you anticipate, and sometimes just getting through life. Like the nerd that I am, I wanted to make sure that we're on the same page of what I mean by endurance. So thanks again to dictionary.com. The definition I like best is the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions, stamina. Does that kind of sound like anything in your life right now? Honestly, except maybe when you're 4 and have zero responsibilities, I don't think there are many times in your life that you don't require endurance. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we need to think about how to be purposeful and to do our end to build it well and to be able to see what God is forcing us to build to become more Christ-like. Hebrews 12 has some great information and encouragement for when we were working through discipline situations, but the first three verses are so pertinent to endurance. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. Sometimes in our faith journey or life in general, it's just so hard to keep going, or at least to just not slow way down. But the verse we just read shows that one, thank goodness, our strength to keep running does not come from ourselves. That's so good because we can't just magically make that happen. So if you're feeling absolutely spent and that you can't go on, you may be relying too much on your own abilities. And number two, when we compare our trials to what Jesus endured, it just doesn't compare. Not only that, but it's not that just Jesus endured so many things, but that he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and me. We were his motivation, his passion. How much more motivation can he be for us, knowing all of that? Psalm 136 is so encouraging in this way. It lifts off so many things that God has done for his people, despite our imperfections, and says over and over, his love endures forever. Now first, before we move on, when I say endurance or continuing to move forward, I am not saying constantly at a really fast pace. Successful endurance will look different for everyone. Some will look like seasoned life marathoners going at a great and steady clip with no sign of slowing down. For others, getting out of bed and completing a task is a step forward and is therefore progress. In my opinion, the latter is sometimes braver. So when you listen to this episode, I want you to think about your needs and your progress, and please do not compare yourselves. It's a trap, and it will be the opposite of what I'm trying to say. Stay in your circle. Work on you. So what do I mean by spiritual endurance? I mean continuing to train, to push through, and work toward your faithfulness strength. For some, that means pushing and fighting through a trial like infertility, a death, health scares, while still focusing on your relationship with God. These are tangible hills to push through, where it's almost a physical pain to continue, let alone to try to work on your relationship with God. You are brave. Keep going. If you do this, there will be a sweet time to look back and see how God filled you and cared for you. For others, it's finding time to work out spiritually, through toddler temper tantrums, work deadlines, providing for needs, taking care of yourself, it's easy to get distracted and focus your energy on other things. But this is the time to work hard. You will get so much stronger if you continue and not put it to the side. And you will be in so much better shape when you hit those hills that I just talked about, because let's face it, you're going to hit those hills. Where does our endurance originate? It comes from God. We can't do anything to start it, but we do need to be responsible with what he gives us. And as he works in us, he builds us more and he gives us more strength and then starts again by giving us new and bigger responsibilities. And this is a good thing. When we refuse to stop or just lay down, God is the one who makes us stronger and he plans our next steps to become the person he designed us to be. Our job is to not give up, to trust God's faithfulness and just follow Jesus in the direction and pace that he gives us. That's it. Well, not that's it, because I know that's really hard, but doesn't that take some of the pressure off? Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's where our endurance originates. All right, we know that God is working in us to build endurance. So what do? Exercise, of course. And we always start off slow and steady. If you want to train for something, you don't just go out and do it all at once. You will burn out or get hurt. Take my introduction to running. It was always a dream of mine to run a 5K. I was a little, not very athletic girl who had multiple hip surgeries, and I wanted to prove, mostly to myself, that I could run more than an adequate mile and not die. To prove that something like pins in my hips couldn't stop me. So I went out and I tried to run a mile. And I almost died. It was so hard and exhausting. I was so discouraged. It wasn't even a third of my goal. So I admitted defeat and I gave up until a friend of mine introduced me to the Couch to 5K program. For the most part, it was great. It started off slow and easy. It gave good guidelines. And I'm sure for most people, it works great if you stick with it. But I needed a little modification and extra motivation. And thankfully, I saw that. So a really great friend of mine, who happens to be Grace's sister, took me under her wing to coach me and set a regimen and keep me accountable. That whole process, due to life and circumstances, literally took me 3 years. My job wasn't to do it at breakneck speed to get to my goal. My job was to push through and continue trying. And 3 years later, I crossed that finish line with my family and Bethany cheering me on. And honestly, my life has never been the same since. A person from the Bible who pushed through long training to get to the goal God had for him was Noah. God told him to build a boat for a cataclysmic event that nobody had ever seen before that would happen in a very distant future. Noah endured physical hardship, emotional hardship, as people around him wanted to heckle, and which those may be tolerable if it only took a few weeks or even a couple of months. But God made Noah endure it for not a whole year, but 100 years. That's 43,800 days. And through Noah's faith and God's faithfulness, Noah was able to endure and successfully complete the task. Or what about Isaiah? Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet during a really hard time in Israel's history. As we talked about before, Isaiah started his profession by offering himself to be God's messenger. Before he even knew what God had planned, he was tasked of prophesying against Isaiah's own people. If you can imagine almost always being the bearer of bad news, trying to continue on through bouts of depression, asking God over and over, "How long will this go on?" But guess what? He still did it. He continued. And through his endurance, we receive some of the most beautiful words as he had the privilege to prophesy about the wonderful coming of Jesus. They are so beautiful and encouraging that much of the lyrics from Handel's Messiah come straight from the book of Isaiah. As you can see, a big part of our faith endurance training is waiting for timing. Another good word for this could be patience. When we see where we are at the end of the destination, that time in between is so hard. I mean, look at the Israelites as they escaped Egypt. They saw God do the plagues, part the Red Sea, give them manna, and so many other miracles, but they just couldn't handle the time in the wilderness. Well, I'm sorry to say that there is no direct route from slavery in Egypt straight to the Promised Land. There will always be a wilderness to trek through. So we can be like Israel, we can be ungrateful and whiny, and even though we know the end result is something called the promised land, we can desire to turn right around and go straight back to what was enslaving us before, just because it's hard right now. Please, please, please don't act like Israel. Take a note from Paul in Colossians 1:23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. God has a reason for his timing and his wait periods. Take Joseph from the Old Testament. Sure, he started off as kind of a jerk when he boasted about his dreams to be higher than his family, not to mention, though this isn't necessarily his fault, the fact that his father loved him so much more than his brothers that he bought him a very special, colorful, blatant coat. But after Joseph's brothers sold him to slavery to get rid of him, and no, this is not an okay thing to do to people who are jerks to you, Joseph became faithful to God and made very good choices. He worked hard for Potiphar and became the head slave. But instead of God lavishing him with blessings forever for being faithful and righteous, he let Joseph get blamed for having an affair with Potiphar's wife, even though he stayed pure amidst great temptation. So instead of blessing Joseph, Joseph went to prison. But did Joseph curse God and just lie down? No. He worked hard in prison, where he was given the opportunity to show God's glory and power to a high official of Pharaoh by interpreting his dreams. This official was so grateful for Joseph's service that he promised to keep Joseph. He promised to let Joseph present himself before Pharaoh. However, after the official was cleared and left prison, he apparently forgot about Joseph for 2 years before Joseph ever came up in conversation. Historians estimate that it took about 13 years from Joseph's first being sold into slavery until he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams of famine, which finally put him in the place of power he predicted when he was 17. But throughout, Joseph stayed faithful and trusted God. That, my friends, is patient endurance. I am sure that through that time, God was working and molding Joseph for this job. When Joseph looked back to when he was 17, I'm sure he was thankful that God didn't put him into a place of power when he was so inexperienced and immature. But through all the trials and time, God built Joseph's strength and endurance not only for Joseph's benefit, but to protect the future of the nation of Israel as a whole. God often does that. He puts us through faith trials to build us up to help others with their faithful bridge journey. Hebrews 11:39 through 40, after listing faithful person by faithful person of the Old Testament, explains, "All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us." God has worked through other people so that we can benefit. And he is doing the same through you. The words of Paul, as he writes to Timothy, his protege, right before he knows he's going to die, echo this sentiment. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all you who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Both of these men were willing to work on their endurance with God because they understood God's faithfulness and wanted to be used for God's purposes, knowing that they themselves may not be the biggest benefactor of their own endurance. Okay, that's great and all. We know that being faithful through endurance training leads to big things, but what can encourage us in the middle of those hard times and how should we respond? The number one thing that helps me through this time is to find Bible verses of encouragement. From people who also were going through hard and arduous times, here are a few and a few situations that really stuck out to me. First is Acts 14:22, and explains how Paul encouraged early church believers who were being persecuted, and he strengthened the believers through his words. He encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. This is so encouraging, and I'm not saying pleasant, I mean encouraging. But if you go up a few verses from that, you will see that Paul urged people to continue in the faith despite persecution after he himself had recently been stoned and left for dead in Antioch. If Paul can keep going and help others while he is literally healing from attempted murder for doing just that, then you and I sure can push on. On the same vein of needing encouragement through trials, 1 Peter 1, 6-9 explains why God chooses to do it this way. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. What? Be truly glad. Some versions say rejoice or consider it joy. Joy for the persecution and trials that we're enduring. Peter says this because it's worth the work. You're going through a really hard situation? Well, imagine how much joy you will have as you cross the finish line of it and reap the benefits and strength that you gained along the way. It's easy to focus on the, it's so hard, or this hurts so bad, and I know that these are very true statements, but we also need to focus on the goal, the crossing of the finish line, the thing that will make it all 100% worth the effort, time, and pain to get there. How about those times when you are fighting temptation? Everyone has something that they, for some reason, especially struggle with. And everyone who actively fights through and against temptation are hugely valiant in my eyes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 discusses this. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now you need to take note of a few things if you face temptation. Temptation to look at or do something you shouldn't do, lie about something, not point out something, or a multitude of other things that compel us, no matter how good the intention, to do something that is counter to the moral standard God has given us. The other thing is that God will always provide an escape. That may be a physical escape to run away from, an easy way to make it go away, like that X on the right-hand corner of that open window or tab, or something else to fill the spot that temptation is attempting to take up. Here's a G-rated version of avoiding a temptation. I really, really struggle with control in many ways with food. I'm especially weak with donuts. I don't mean cheap, bought in a bag at a gas station. Donuts, though, those are kind of delicious, even though they make me feel kind of cheap. But I'm talking freshly made from a dedicated donut bakery donut. I'm not picky. I'll pick any kind of donut. I'll eat cream-filled or chocolate or coconut or anything. So when literally boxes of them are laid in front of me with the smell of chocolate or sprinkles or coconuts or anyway, every single Sunday for months, this was my situation. And I didn't have the option to just leave the room. What's a donut-loving but trying to be a more responsible girl to do? I didn't know. Until one Sunday, I saw one of my middle school girls, who I think more just didn't enjoy donuts than they were trying to avoid them, were eating something different, like a pack of fruit snacks or a granola bar. And that was it. I knew if I found something else more wholesome to eat, but still a treat, that I may be able to resist the smell of the donut. And for the rest of the time I was faced with this temptation, it totally worked. God will always provide an escape for temptation, no matter how G-rated or even X-rated, no matter how deep you are down that rabbit hole. But please note, this is very important. He provides it, but he doesn't force you to take it. We need to be vigilant, to be watching and waiting for it. Why? Because we trust God. We know his faithfulness and believe that he always keeps his promises. And this, my friends, is an example of one of his promises. But we need to work for it, because while he provides it, it is 100% our responsibility to find it and run toward it. I suggest running toward it with all you have. And the more you do that, guess what? The stronger you get and the more endurance you have against those temptations. What about waiting? Waiting is so hard. There's something that you're waiting to happen, or a door to be specifically opened or closed. But the first question I want you to answer is, did you actually ask for it? Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now, of course, this doesn't mean when you're asking for $1 million or a brand new, super expensive, ridiculous car, but when you're waiting for a job or a baby, a relationship, something important to you that you have given, the request and faith in God to fulfill that need, however it may manifest? Or what about waiting for a result from your own faithful action? The time that you have faithfully put in service to God, like youth group, parenting, mentoring, counseling, and you really want to see some fruit from that labor and time you put in, but it's just been so discouraging. Galatians 6:9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." There will be a harvest, but it may take longer than we anticipate or want. With this, I want to point out two things that I've recently learned. One, it is our responsibility to sow the seeds to do the service to God that He has asked. But two, it is not our responsibility to somehow force the fruit or crop to grow. That is out of our control and totally up to God for the timing. But this verse proves that there will be a harvest if we don't give up. And isn't it a relief that we don't need to force any specific kind of end result? Just plant. God takes care of the rest. Also, along with a quote that I found randomly encouraging, that is apparently by an author named Matthew Kelly, according to Google, is, "Most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade." Lastly, and the hardest thing to endure of all is when it just feels like there's trial keeps coming after trial with no end in sight. Romans 5:3 goes with what we talked about before, and it says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us build endurance. This endurance and relationship with God that we build through these trials will later become our life force when we face the next drought or trial in our life that tries to dry us out or knock us over. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." These trials also deepen our relationship with God. We experience Him rather than just learn about Him. The person in the Bible that really dealt with trial after trial after trial was Job. And though all of his losses and pain and sickness, he didn't give up or curse God for it. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't question God, but at the very end of the book of Job, after getting the chance to ask God questions, but instead being exposed to God's power and character, Job says, after losing so much through his trials, in Job 42:5, "I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes." This metaphor doesn't really do any justice, per se, but it kind of reminds me of when I was in nursing school. We had 2 years of book learning, fact memorization, formulas, case studies, but when I walked into a patient's room for the first time, that's when I truly understood what nursing meant. God wants us to experience Him in His strength, not just learn about it, but to fully understand it. All that being said, there are two things that really helped push me through my fight for endurance. The first is passion. Passion gives energy, that adrenaline rush when you are doing something you love. So even though it's hard, you enjoy it, and it makes it so easy to keep pushing. And we'll go into this in more detail at another time. The other is how we fuel ourselves. Athletes eat healthy, not donuts. At least not all the time. They have to, or they can't perform well. They need the right balance of foods, so that they don't run out of steam, and also so they don't pack on extra weight to slow them down. What are you fueling yourself with as you run through life? Are you running out of steam because you aren't fueling yourself enough? Do you surround yourself with enough positive friends, good deep Bible study, a church family that you love? Or are you packing on weight with things that seem so good at the time, but you just know they aren't good for you? Choose good fuel and get rid of the junk. Even with all of that information, guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to trip or fall or sit on the sideline for a bit. But guess what? It doesn't mean you're done. The race is not over. I love what Christine Kane had to say about Peter as he faltered while walking on the water to Jesus from the boat in the storm in her book Unstoppable. Climb out of that boat with your eyes fixed on Jesus. And if you falter, cry it to Him. Reach out to Him, knowing He will catch you and climb into your boat. And when the time is right, He will calm the storm. But He will choose the time. When your weaknesses have been revealed, when your doubts have been exposed, then he will step into your weakness with his strength and will prove your doubts are unfounded and that he is faithful and trustworthy. With all of that said, there are two things I want you to remember. Every single day is a new day to try again. And everyone who runs to Jesus makes it. With that being said, everything I just said, there are two things I want you to remember. Every single day is a new day to try again. And everyone who runs to Jesus makes it. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies.
This has been episode 12 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Patient Endurance. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/12. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.